We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello and welcome to episode 24 of This Is Football. This week is slightly different as we don't have Paul with us this week. Paul is away for the week. So you just have myself, Trevor, here. So I'll just get stuck into last week's results and then we go through next week's fixtures and we have a special guest lined up for the second part of the show. So starting from last week, we had on Friday night, we had the seniors who were playing away to Leixlip United. And I'm delighted to say they had a very good 2-1 win away to Leixlip. Well done, lads. So that means now that's three wins out of the last four games. So well done, onwards and upwards. So their fixture for this week is tomorrow night, Friday night, the 8th of December, away to St. Paul's of Artane. Best of luck with that one, lads. So we'll knock into the other fixtures, the other results of last week. So not many games last week, as most games were called off away. So we'll start with the under-11C, had a win away to Lusk United. The under-11F had a close win away to Skerries. The under-15A lost 4-2 away to Laytown. The under-8B had a win away to Rathote. Under-8C had a really comprehensive win away to Loughshinny. Under-12A lost 3-2 versus Skerries. Under-11D lost 5-2 away to Trinity. The under-11 girls had a 3-2 home win against Maynooth. Well done, girls. Under-15P lost 4-2 away to Stamullen. Under-9C lost away to Tyrrellstown. Under-11 girls lost away to River Valley Celtic. Under-11C won at home to Lusk United. Then we had our own results. The under-13P, we played in the SFAI Under-13s Cup up in Dundalk. And I'm delighted to say we won 3-0 against Shamrocks. So well done, lads. It was a great performance on a very, let's just say, dodgy pitch. It was still frozen at the time when we were playing at half 12. But they got stuck into us. We didn't have any of it. And we won 3-2 comfortably, hit the post twice, crossbar, and had two disallowed goals. So well done, lads. That gets us onto the last 32, into the, I think it's, we could be anywhere now for the next round. I don't think that draw is going to be made till January, so we can park that for now. Under-11A won away to, a good win, away to Swords. Under-17B won 5-0 away to Skerries. Brilliant, well done, Dermot. The Under-11B won away to Colchester. Under-11D lost at home to River Valley. And that seems to be all the results for last week. So again, not many games going on, and certainly with the weekend ahead, not many games going ahead either. So, but let's just get into the ones that are going ahead. So under 12 Green are in the SFAI Trophy at home against East Meath at 10 o'clock on Saturday. So this is Saturday the 9th. Lads, if we can get up to that, not a lot of games going on. So hopefully there's a people around that might support the lads. So 10 o'clock. Up at the home pitches, SFAI game for the Green team under 12. Best of luck, lads. Under 12A Red are at home versus Glebe North at 12:30. Under 12C are idle. Under 12F are at home against St. Columbans at 11:15. Under 13A are away to Darndale at 10 a.m. Under 14A are away to St. Edith's at 10 o'clock. Under 15A are away to McKelvey at 11:15. There's no, obviously, over 35s are finished, and there's no scheduled game for the second team, senior second team. So let's move on to Sunday the 10th. So we have the under 13 girls at away to Ballyhooster at 11:15. Under 15 and 16 girls are idle. Under 18 girls are away to Cluny at 2 o'clock. Under 13P, which is ourselves, and under 14P are both idle, no games. Under 15P are at home versus Rathote at 10 a.m. Under 15A are idle. Under 16P are in the SFAI Cup away to Ballscadden at 10 o'clock. Big game for Brendan and Christian, the lads. Best of luck. Under 17B are at home versus Ashbourne at 11:30. Under 15P are idle. Under 18A are at home versus Glebe North at 1:30. And that's all the fixtures for this weekend. So as I mentioned, we hadn't got a lot of games last week. We don't have a lot this week. And as I say, I'm flying solo this week, so I won't keep it very long. We do have a guest for the second part of the show, and it's someone that we've had previously on the pod. It's Gav Doyle from, previously it was LFC Day Trippers. It's now rebranded as Talking Cop. So we just delve into the Premiership as it's going up to now, and we had a little bit of a random chat at the end of it, just for something different. So we'll be back to normal as next week with Paul coming back. So hopefully you can put up with this for just the 1 week, and we see how we go. Thanks a million.
How are you? Roddy Collins here, and I listen to This Is Football podcast.
Welcome back to part two of This Is Football. So this week we have... Paul is on his holidays, as we know, so we're kind of stuck because nobody wants to listen to me talking on my own. So we've been lucky enough to have a friend of the show who's been on previously, Gav Doyle from Talking Cop. Gav, thanks so much for jumping in and no doubt doing a better job than Paul. That wouldn't be hard, so appreciate you coming on.
I know, he's a tough act to follow, is Paul. Yeah. No, thanks for having me.
No, it's brilliant. Listen, so look, we won't keep you long. I just wanted to have a little chat. We spoke last time about the Premiership in general, right? So we were very early on. I think we were at episode 4 or 5 when we got our brand new shiny equipment that you thankfully sourced for us. So we're a bit further down the road. We're a third of the way through the season. So like, let's just discuss, what do you think? Now we can talk, the mad decisions are going on with the refs, the good football that's being played, the mad stuff that's being done. What do you want to start with?
Oh, listen, we'd be here all day if we do the mad decisions that have been made, and the PGMOL and the referees on pitch, and then off the back of that, Howard Webb having writer's cramp because he's writing that amount of apologies to football clubs. You know, you'd be there all day. It's just an unfortunate part of football as we watch it today. I'm on record as saying I think the PGMOL should be put on notice and told at the end of the season their job is done and they're out. Now, people have made the argument, oh, well, who would you bring in? Trust me, if you go around Europe and you look for top referees in Europe and offer them the salary that Premier League referees are on, and the benefits and the bonuses and everything else, they'd be queuing up at the Premier League's door to take that position up. The biggest issue for me is that they've been against VAR since the very start. They have trailed behind the rest of Europe in implementing it and being on board with it and understanding it. So it's got to the stage now where it's happening every club. And, you know, when it happens every club, you get fans of opposition clubs saying, you know what, well, it happens to everyone. And that's not the approach. That shouldn't be the approach. That's when tribalism kicks in and everyone's like, oh, well, look what happened to us, you know, and you compare how badly you've been treated. Like in any other walk of life, if you're having to compare how badly you're being treated by one entity, the common denominator is that entity is the issue, you know, the sort of way. So, but look, that's probably a show where me and you can sit down and, you know, possibly have to, you know, clear about 3 hours of our schedule. Overall, though, the Premier League, it's really, again, splitting itself into three leagues like it usually does. I think there's 4 or 5 down the bottom. The 3 promoted teams in particular that look really, really like they're struggling badly. Everton get that points deduction, which throws them back in the mix, and they shouldn't really be in there. You have Bournemouth down there as well, and that's just going to be a scrap.
Yeah,
it's probably not even 3 places from 5. It's probably 1 place from 3 because I think Burnley and Luton will go. Then you have teams around the middle of the table where Everton really should be. Chelsea are there surprisingly. You have the likes of your Crystal Palaces and Brentfords and all these hanging about, and then the top of the table, and I think it's been quite refreshing with the likes of Villa being up there. We always knew Newcastle were coming up on the rails going from last season, and they've really, you know, say what you want about their owners and what might come in the future, right now they've done nothing wrong on the pitch with regards to their spending, and they're really, really looking solid. United look a bit united, you know, there's no other word for them at this stage. Yeah. And then you have the perceived title race, which is Arsenal, Liverpool, City. And I think it's a title race. I think it might be a prolonged title race this time around. I think it might go beyond the 30 games I think that lasted last season when City just started to take control and disappear. Because I think I'm a Liverpool fan, but I'm not going to tell you Liverpool are perfect. I'm not going to tell you they're champions in waiting and champions elect. But I think they've managed to bed players in really quickly, get results, and stay up there. I think Arsenal are building as well on a season of experience last year for them. And I think City are starting to come down from where they were, maybe because they won the treble, and maybe because, you know, there's a lot of players there an awful long time, and maybe, I'm not saying the motivation is gone, but sometimes it can go a bit, you know, same thing, different day. And I think all the ingredients are there for possibly a three-way title race. Now, I could be wrong. We could be sitting here in 6 weeks and see you're 8-9 clear. And we're like, well, that's the end of that. But just looking on how Liverpool are building and managing to stay there, Arsenal are using their experience from last year, and City feel like they're just faltering a little bit in maybe trying to reinvent themselves a little bit. I think we could be in for a... It's going to be an amazing Christmas period, for definite. Mm. But it'll be interesting to see off the back of it where people are. And I think when we come off the back of it in, you know, they've a January break, I think, from the 6th to the 20th. So when we go back into the games on the 20th or 20, around that time anyway, it'd be interesting to see where the league stands. And if the three of them are still there and thereabouts, it'll go to the wire, because if there's three involved, you know, there's more chance of it being prolonged than two.
Are you in the mindset of, like, what everyone seems to be, and it's been said for the last couple of years, that if you finish above City, you win the league? I know they're faltering slightly, but it's only, like, when you say faltering, they've had a couple of draws. I know, you know, so it's not like they're falling off the wagon altogether, but are you in the mindset that, yeah, if you finish ahead of them, are you more worried about, everyone's more worried about City than Arsenal, it seems to be?
Yeah, look, City and Liverpool, to a certain extent as well, have set a standard where if you could literally turn up at 90 points in May and be toward in the league, you know, and that was unheard of, really. When you, like, I before Liverpool and City done 99 and 97, or 98 and 97, whatever it was, you know, how many teams were doing that amount of points? How many I don't think I've ever seen two teams go that high points wise. And then from there on in, it was like, you have to do 90 points. Like, Arsenal could realistically do 90 points a season and not win the league. Yeah. You know, that's the standard they're at. I don't know if around 95 will take that to do with this season, which you're probably right. If you offered me now, as a Liverpool fan, you're going to finish ahead of City, but you don't know where you'll finish in the league, I'll take it. Because there's a good chance if you finish ahead of City, you're doing 95-ish points probably, and that'll probably win you the title. But people are writing off Arsenal very quick here. And, like, let's be honest, Arsenal were a half dozen games away from champions for me, you know, and they just fell away. But I think the players they've added, although in numbers wise, I'm not too sure they've added too many more than what they had last season, but I think in quality and players that you can depend on, I think they have added them. I think Trossard and Rice, you can depend on them both right till the end of the season. So, but see, I'm not writing off City at all. I'm just saying, for the sake of a title race, I think when you look at where Arsenal and Liverpool are kind of on the up, and Arsenal continue to be on the up, Liverpool are returning to being on the up, and City just looking a bit like, you know, it might be just a small sticky period, and maybe a lot of laughing at this in 4 weeks' time, but right now, yeah, I just think there's three at the minute. I genuinely do.
I've made it no secret that my second favourite team in the Premiership is Brighton. I've loved watching them for over the last few years. And look, they seem to be hitting a tricky bit. But the one team I want to talk about, give it a minute or two, is Villa. Aston Villa, I said it on the very first podcast of the season, when they were playing Newcastle, before they played Newcastle. And even when they played them, I know Newcastle spanked them 4-1 or something like that on the opening day. I came on here and I said, they are going to be a good team. They're going to really progress. And as far as teams getting back up there, like Liverpool are trying to get back up there, Arsenal are up there, I absolutely think Villa are well and truly in this, not the title race, but certainly in top four, banging on the door. What do you think?
100% they are. They've won every game at Villa Park since February.
Yeah.
I think that might be 14 league games. They play City there tomorrow, don't they?
Yes, they do. And City are missing Pedri. What's his name? Rodri.
Rodri. And I think we'll be missing Grealish as well.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, Grealish might have been booked in that game at Spurs, and he gets a ban, so he can't go back to Villa Park to play. Look, the team of Villa is, and we were only talking about it on Air Show a couple, last week, I think it was, and the thing about them is that, for me, they've not been afraid to spend, because when they come in back into the Premier League, they spend about 160 million. And I think they end up staying up on the last day away at West Ham.
Correct.
And people were like, Jesus, 160 million, and that's what's getting you. And I can't remember who that manager was when they stayed up, I'm going to be honest with you. But he gets replaced by Steven Gerrard. Yeah. And Steven Gerrard comes in, and it's like there's a bit of a buzz around the place, but Gerrard feels like he has one way of playing, and it doesn't seem overly effective against a huge array of teams. And they're not afraid to spend money. And what they do is they go for Unai Emery. Now, Unai Emery has this, you know, reputation in England of, you know, he says good evening, and people jumped on that, and he followed Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. And you have to remember, he followed Arsene Wenger at Arsenal when Arsene Wenger shouldn't have been at Arsenal for about 5 years before he left. Forget FA Cups that he won. He shouldn't have been there. When Wenger loses a Champions League final in 2006, by the time 2010 comes around, he should have called the quits at Arsenal, right? Because he was still dealing off the back of a new stadium that he hadn't got the money to spend around them like others had, and Wenger was trying to run the whole club. Now, I'm not putting Arsene Wenger's contribution to Arsenal in that time down, but he shouldn't have been there. They should have moved on from, or he should have moved on from them and said, look, I've done all I can here. I've brought us back from the, you know, the mid to late 90s right through 13 years, and I'm gone. And he could have went anywhere, Wenger. Yeah. You know, but Villa look at it and they go, Unai Emery, he's won European trophies at Sevilla, Villarreal. You know, he has that stint at Arsenal. I think he's a little bit harshly done by. And then he comes into Villa, and he hasn't made wide, you know, changes, sweeping changes to the squad. There's an awful lot of players that are there that were there before he ever arrived. But what he's done is he's looked at the moment, right, we can play in a couple of different ways, and we need to get the best out of certain players. Ollie Watkins, he needs to play through the middle of the park, not out left. Ollie Watkins, Douglas Luiz, we have to make him the anchor. McGinn, we have to make him in there walking, not on the left side of the midfield. Get him in and get him walking. Centre halves, he's made a couple of signings there. And the thing about them is they're exciting to watch. Now, they're open as anything at the back. You know, they played Spurs there last week, and if Spurs' time runs better, Spurs are probably 3-0 up. But they're exciting to watch. They're believing in what they're doing. And that's the biggest thing. They have a way to play, and they believe in it. You know, we could talk about Manchester United. They don't have a way to play, and they definitely don't believe in the way they're playing. But Villa mightn't have better players than Manchester United on paper, but they have a way of doing things. Emery has a way of doing things. I watched them at Anfield last season, the last home game of last season, and they were excellent because they just insisted on playing the ball out from the back. Keeper to centre half, back to the keeper, out to a deep line midfielder who gave it back to a fullback who put it over the back of Jordan Henderson continuously for the game, and they got out that way. And they didn't have such a high line that day. They dropped off Liverpool a bit, but you could see they were grown into something, that they're progressing and they have an idea. And look, the Premier League is, you know, this the best thing in the world and all. But honestly, if you can get yourself within 15 points of Man City at any stage in the season, you're probably in top four. And it's not the hardest in the world to break from 10th to 6th to 5th. It's not. Because all you need is one or two teams to have an off season, which there's always two teams to have an off season, and you to continue doing what you're doing. The only thing that might do Villa is the depth in the squad, I think, up front, outside of Watkins, what did he have? And a couple of injuries might scupper them. But right now, if you're an Aston Villa fan, you're very excited because you know what they're trying to do. You can see where they're trying to go. And you know 100% come January, possibly, but definitely the summer, Unai Emery's going to be given funds to go and say, right, I need another striker, or I need another fullback, or I need another centre midfield. Not to replace people that are there, but to complement what he has there. And I said it, if they get into the top four, they won't feel out of place in the Champions League. The Aston Villa, they've won the bleeding European Cup twice.
I think you're right there. With he's earned the right to be backed. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll get the money, you know. They have, as you said, put in a lot of money over the last couple of years. But it's coming to fruition now. You know, they have the right man, and it just goes to show, if you get the right man in charge of a group of players that are willing to buy into your issue, into your plan,
yeah,
look at the difference it can make. There's a couple of clubs. We won't mention Manchester United, I don't think, because it's just a bit of a... Well, actually, just for a minute or so, it's the polar opposite. So you look at what's happening at Villa, right? They have a man, they brought him in. Straight away, you can see what they're trying to do and the style of play they're playing. And they're playing for the manager. Mm-hmm. It's completely the opposite now. Like, obviously, there's talk now of Ten Hag maybe being on the ropes. He's been on the ropes a while, but actually maybe be knocked out now soon enough. What do you think? Give it a minute or two on this one. I don't want to...
Look, I kind of take my feed off this with Manchester United fans rather than... Because it's hard to speak as a Liverpool fan against Manchester United without sounding like you're just absolutely sticking the knife in all the time. And one or two United fans I speak to, and they say to me, look, it's the whole collective. It's not just the manager. It's not just this. It's the whole collective and the repetitiveness of it. You know, managers lost the dressing room. Blame the Glazers. This player's not working. This player's not working. Look what we spent on him. Look at the wages he's on and he's not playing. Look at, you know, it's the repetitiveness of it where they just seem to go around in this never-ending circle. And as they go along, they pick up these huge transfers that don't work. They pick up these players that don't seem to be able to do it. And they pick up people in the media that just continue to blame one part of this. When you sit down and look at it, nobody at Manchester United is working. The players aren't working. The manager's not working. The people above them aren't working. The owners aren't working. Nothing works. There's not one piece there that you go, that's doing a really, really good job, and they're being let down by the rest. That can't be said at Manchester United. And that's the big issue. They need a clear path on what they want to do, and they don't have it. And that's down to loyalty to players that they shouldn't be loyal to. A freedom to a manager to sign players that he probably shouldn't have the freedom, looking at what he's signed and what he's done. And football and structure that's there, that you look and go, what are they doing? Because they're making the decisions at the end of the day, and the decisions for, you would argue, the last 10 years have been appalling.
Yeah, and look, you look at the managers they've had world-class managers, Van Gaal, Mourinho, the list goes on, and it's the same result. So it's a bit like Sheffield United now letting Higginbottom go, and they're bringing in Wilder, going back to what they've already had. What manager firstly would be interested in the job in its current voice, because that's where it is. Is it going to change? Who knows? But who'd want to go there firstly, and who's available? I don't know.
Look, Paul Heckenbottom gets them out of the championship, and it's quite clear from their summer business, right? They let Sanderberg go. Sanderberg's one of the higher rated midfielders. He goes to Burnley, right? Who's going to be a rival to them this season, and will probably go down with them. But he bring, when you look at them and you see them on the first day after the transfer window closes, you just know they've accepted they're going down. You just know it. Unless an absolute miracle happens, they're going down, because they don't have A, the players, the quality, or the depth, or the experience when you look at the manager. So I kind of said to myself when I looked at Sheffield United in particular, they'll come up. They'll get their money for being up there. They'll get their money for going back down. And what they'll do is they'll regroup at the start of next season in the championship with a better squad, more money to invest in that championship squad, to be able to come back up with that bag of money in their pocket going, we've saved that from the last summer up, and we're getting the same again, and now we're going to try to push on. To sack him is a bit mad in my eyes, because they've literally done nothing to support him since they've gone up. And he must have been in on this plan, otherwise he would have kicked up going, I got you the Premier League, you're not getting me any players. They're going back to Wilder. And the thing about Wilder was, I think he lost most of the dressing room at Sheffield United before he left. And I don't know how many of them are still there. But it looks like they're going back to what they know. But they're going back to what he sacked. Do you get me? They're going back to what he sacked. Who'll be interested in it? I don't know, names-wise. But if I'm going in there, I'm going and going, listen, I'm coming in here, but I know I'm going down. Just to let you know, we're going down. Let's all be honest here in the room. We're going down, but I've no problem with that. But this should be the plan for when we go down. This should be the plan for next season. Like, if the next Sheffield United manager should be walking in and planning this transfer business for the championship now.
Yeah.
and getting the okay and the go ahead off Sheffield United Football Club in order to get back in the Premier League. And then judge me when I get back in the Premier League and you back me, because we've agreed this on day one. If it doesn't go right, by all means, sack me. But yeah, it's a very, very difficult one when you see a manager that's come up and being given very, very limited support to be sacked. Yeah. I think it's poor form a little bit, to be honest.
It's very hard. If you're a Sheffield United fan, and like what you've just said there, you take yourself away from, you take the heart away from it, and you think out your head, right? If you went to a Sheffield United, staunch Sheffield United fan, and said, look, we're going to be bringing him in, we're talking about Championship next year, and we're going to be... If they're realistic, that's what they should be thinking. And it's the right way to do it. Look, you look at Leicester. I think Leicester even done that last year. A couple of teams have done it over the years. They knew Watford have done it many times, West Brom. These are clubs, Norwich, they're clubs that, they come up and down all the time because they're thinking ahead, and they're being realistic. You know, you can go the other way as well, and you can have a Leeds, and they drop and drop and drop.
Yeah.
Or do you put a plan in place? That's brilliant. What I want to do is, and I'm holding you for time here for another 5 minutes, something that I want to start doing with this particular podcast, and I know that you do it regularly with your own, is just having a bit of a random chat or whatever, a subject that might come into your head. I'd be in stitches listening to your one, and I think it could be a bit of crack. So I'm going to open the floor. I have a couple of suggestions, but you've talked about many of them on your podcast lately. So do you want to pull one out of the hat? We go with it, or...
I have to be careful here because their podcasts are on at 10 o'clock at night and they are one. Listen.
Yeah.
So, although they are football and most of the time the language is quite, tame, I suppose.
Yeah.
For a Dubliner, it's tame. There is bits where, we have to mark it explicit and not for kids, the sort of way. But I think I'm safe enough in this one, and it's very recent. It's from a show last night where we came on to talk about the title race.
Mm-hmm.
Building squads in the Premier League for massively long seasons. And I can't remember what the last topic was because it got taken over by the fact that we start talking about Father Ted.
Right.
And it's just, I think it finished around 1997. I want to say it did, about 25 years ago.
Mm.
And still to this day, it's phenomenal. And the reason it came up was because, the way these suggestions come up on YouTube.
Yes.
This suggestion up on YouTube for me for, and I should look up the guy to give him the credit, but it's basically an American guy with his partner, girlfriend, wife, I'm not too sure. And they basically watch sitcoms or, series, and they sit and watch it. You can see it on the screen as you're watching. You can see in here, and you can see in here them reacting. And I happened to just come across this one day, and they were watching Father Ted, where Father Ted becomes a racist.
Yeah.
And it's brilliantly done. Two, you're never getting away with it in today's market.
Definitely not.
Because of the, offended by everything culture we live in. Because a lot of people just can't take these on face value. Mm. And by laughing at it, you're not a racist. It's just, they've gone there, But it's just, my thing of the week now is for people to go back over Christmas and watch Father Ted. He comes out of the house and this man is standing on the corner of the garden and he shouts to him. He says, "Here you are, Father. Here you are, a racist now. How did you get into that sort of thing?" And he says, no, I'm not a racist. I'm not a racist. He says, I couldn't be a racist myself, not full time anyway. He said, I have a farm to run, And then this woman just appears in screen and she's going, Father, you tell them, Father, I'm sick of them. He says, come in here, take an air jobs. He said, the Greeks. She just mentions the Greeks for no reason.
Randomly, yeah.
And she's like, I'm not a racist. And the man shouts back, he says, no, it's not the Greeks he's after. It's the Chinese. And it's just going. But then when he runs away in this whole situation, the two of them just start standing there as if they're chatting on the street, And the random stuff just does come up in the shows. And that one come up and it's just, it makes you genuinely want to go and turn on Father Ted,
100%.
Because some of the stuff in it, it's just phenomenal. And I enjoy the random chats more than the football ones, to be perfectly honest with you.
See Father Ted, the stuff in that, and actually it's back in my head, and I'm going to watch it again because I haven't watched it in ages. It's always on the telly, but guaranteed there's episodes that you not completely forget. But you're watching them knowing what the punchline is and you're just ready for it. And that's what the crack is.
It's a bit like Only Fools and Horses.
The Only Fools and Horses is just the dogs. That's up there with it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and it's not even that. I love when you go back to that era of comedy, just those very subtle lines in them where you go, oh, if he said
no
that today,
way is that
he's never
today,
getting another job again, you know. It'd be off the TV before the episode ended, it'd be taken off TV, you know.
Fawlty Towers is another one,
Fawlty Towers, but Fawlty Towers, I think, only done two series, didn't he? They only done
12 episodes. That's it,
But yeah, like, I've always wanted to go and do a podcast on random stuff, and what I mean by that is not like, let's talk about TV today. I want to come on and go, what's going on in the world this week? Mad. Like, just quickly back on football. The whole thing about Trent Alexander-Arnold and playing in Predator boots now is blowing my mind. You know, there's people out there that actually believe Trent couldn't play football before he put on these boots. Like, they've given him superpowers, you know? And that I find that highly amusing. Now,
people are genuinely believing that.
Like, people are into
it. This is fact nearly.
Yeah, I'm convinced there's somebody somewhere that put up the nets on the weekend, a local football team, right? Or mark the pitch, or do the lotto, or do something. And I'm convinced they're probably in their 50s. And I'm convinced they're going to show up with no intention to kick a football, but they'll have a pair of them Predators on them between now and the new year. I'm convinced it's going to happen.
Yeah, it will. It absolutely.
It's a phenomenon. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's mad. But yeah, the random stuff I love. Absolutely love it. And the more random you can get, the better. You know.
Yeah, we're kind of limited to what we can do on this one because, firstly, I'm watching the time, but also, as you say, it's not for. It's quite PG in this. But you can always have a bit of crack with. There's loads of other stuff. Like, we had a chat off air about Christmas stuff and all that. Now, we won't get into that now. Like, best Christmas presents, worst Christmas. When I mean best, I mean the most cringeworthy ones and all that. But look, we get into it all. And this is something that we're going to introduce with Paul when he comes back. And we're getting people in. We're doing this online now. This is where we're recording it. We're going to have a few guests in. We might get one or two of the lads from Talking Cop. I don't know how PG they would be, Gav. Now, you probably have to think about that and see
you could release your normal feed and then you could release the late night version.
We might do that.
My favorite random thing at the moment before you finish is Mad Sports.
Oh, right.
Right. So one of the lads in the podcast was Phil, is just mad into American sports. And of course, once you go into American sports, you're into all sorts.
Yeah.
And he's into forklift racing, which
is... Forklift racing?
Yeah. So it's basically like they're racing, not racing, I suppose, but basically it's a lad in a forklift with a pallet of stuff on board. And he has to get around an obstacle course and then over little bridges and different things and then drop his pallet. And if he does it without dropping anything, then he jumps off and he has to run up this kind of staircase to hit a big red button. So it's basically, you know, time trial and forklifts with stuff on them. It's mad. It's mad, but mad American sports is off the wall. Like, some of the stuff they come up with is just crazy. So yeah, go and check that out as well.
We'll have a little look at that. Absolutely. Anything else? Like, well, before we go, obviously we'll mention your podcast. Well, I will anyway. It's got a bit of a rebrand since the last year we're on. It was LFC Day Trippers and was that for many, many years. It's now it's again, it's all the same feeds. I'm sure I know people that have been speaking to when you were last on, like, you know, subscribed and listened away, not just Liverpool fans, which is great to hear because it isn't just a Liverpool podcast, but it's now rebranded to Talking Cop. And as you said, you're doing episodes, a couple of episodes a day. So
yeah,
I would advise people to kind of take a little look. It's on YouTube. It's on, am I right in saying it's on Twitch?
Yes, it was. We put it on Twitch for a week or two and then we came away from Twitch because Twitch have a way of, if you get so many people subscribed to you, they automatically set up these memberships. Set up these memberships and start charging people for memberships we hadn't authorized it. So it got a bit messy there. So I've kind of got on to most people that have done that and tried to reimburse them. But now we're on YouTube. I think we're doing, I want to say something about 12 shows this week. Five, I think five of them are on our normal YouTube feed. Seven of them are for members only, which is about €4 a month. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep watching all them shows live and interactive. And all 12 shows then are available wherever you get your downloads. So whether you subscribe or you don't, you can get them on if you started the video stuff, you can subscribe to get them all live, or you can watch five free. And the other seven you can go and find on the download. So all our content is still available in some way to everyone. But whether you're on, you know, Apple, Android, YouTube, anything, any device, you'll find us. So yeah, and it's not only Liverpool, a lot of Liverpool lineup, but there's an awful lot of Premier League chat in it and random stuff. And you know, looking back, and then we do shows at 10 o'clock in the morning, which, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not really into talking about tactics. I'd rather talk about, you know, what series you're having, or is the neighbours up to anything mad, you know, that sort of way. So that's where the 10 o'clock shows go anyway.
Last thing, so you were doing Movember.
Yeah.
With one of the lads off the Shawnee. Yeah. So what was, just so I know you had set figures and what did it come to, so just, you might mention that.
Well, look, Movember is, everyone knows what Movember is at this stage, but it's kind of gone from suicide awareness to kind of mental health as well, and it's kind of mixed it up together. And it's a huge thing. And Shawnee, that does the podcast with us, his mate was setting up one and said, look, do you want to, you can join a team basically, with the idea that we'd raise €1,000. Now, we only agreed to this, I think, Halloween night. So we literally were straight into on the 1st November. We had no plans. And that's not like me. I usually have a plan in place and I'm ready to go a month beforehand. But yeah, look, we were meant to get 1,000. We ended up with 2,500, which was brilliant. Shawnee was absolutely buzzing over that. And we had a great time doing it, you know. And we start gathering people as we went throughout the month. And people weren't shaving and going, look, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So we're going to do it next year. But we're going to actually, we're upping the ante next year. We're doing muzzies and mullets next year. So you can do a moustache, but you can grow a mullet at the same time. And whether you're on the podcast, listen to the podcast, just know us as mates, you can join the team. We're gonna literally be taking pictures of people every couple of days and posting them online and taking the mick out of them. And and then we do want to meet with everybody that does it in a pub at the end of it, and just all of us sit in the pub with these muzzy and mullets and for a bit of crack, you know. So
I think
really good cause, and it was kind of thrown at us this year, and we went for it. But next year we'd be ready to go. We'd be absolutely ready to go for November the 1st.
I know you're living in Ashbourne, we're in Dunboyne. I think what you'd have to do for next year for people in Ratoke, because I think, you know, there's loads of muzzies and mullets all over there all year round, I have to be honest. So I think, No, Paul's from there, you know. So I think what you'll have to do for the month of November is they'll have to shave theirs off and they'll come in as normal.
Right, okay.
So they'll have to do the opposite.
A big help in reverse psychology there.
Yeah, some of the women, you know. Anyway, look.
That wasn't me that said that.
No, sorry. we'll leave it at that. Gav, thank you so much. As I say, we were besides the fact that Paul is away, I've been wanting to get you back on, so it's kind of just worked. And
anytime you want, let me know. I'll do my best for you.
Thanks, Gav. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thanks.